Hey, we're going to, title of today's message is this. I want to move in the power of God, but I'm scared. I want to move in the power of God, but I'm scared. And, you know, when I was a seven-year-old, I was given power, and I quite liked it. I was given a little bit of authority, or what felt like I was given authority. Now, you guys will know, I grew up in South Africa, and in South Africa, there's lots of different languages spoken. And each day, I used to get home by catching a bus. Now, I used the word bus in a really general term. It felt like a lorry was something random placed on top. If we ever had an accident, I don't know what would have happened to the kids in the back. It was like a cattle truck. Okay, it felt like it at least. And our bus driver was called Boy. And he didn't speak a word of English. And every day he'd pick us up. And every day he only spoke Zulu. Now, none of the other children on the bus spoke Zulu. I was the only one. And one day, Boy realized that I spoke Zulu. And he got me to come and sit on the front seat. Now, bearing in mind, the back of the bus was like the worst place to be, okay? Two little rows and horrible. I got to sit in an amazing seat. But even better than that, I became the bus driver's voice. So when a kid misbehaved, I could say to them, if you do that one more time, Boy is going to hit you. And then I could lift up the stick that Boy had at the front. I wasn't joking. There was a stick. Okay. And I had power. I could talk to these kids. And I could say stuff. And I could speak to a 10-year-old and tell a 10-year-old, even though I was 7 years old, I had power over him. It felt really, really good. Until one day, the bus came to pick me up. And Boy wasn't the bus driver. So I couldn't sit in the front. And I had to go and sit in the back with the other children. They made sure I knew who had the power then, I tell you what. But you know what? The power that I felt, I only had that power through Boy the bus driver. I didn't have that power in myself. It wasn't what I had. You know, as Christians, I often think about our relationship with God. It was the passage that Sophia read earlier on. It talks about the power and the authority that Jesus gives us. And I think that in the same way that the bus driver gave me power and authority, God wants to give you power and authority. Not because of who you are, but because of who God is. And I believe as a church, God has called us to achieve more than we could possibly imagine. You know, I was just before the service, I read a book. I was trying to find out which book I'm going to read next. And I flicked through one book and a question jumped out at me. And the question was this: does your church just exist? Is the mission of your church just to exist? Or is it to advance God's kingdom? You know, when you get a knife in the heart sometimes when you read some words, it really challenged me. Because as Christians, I don't believe, and as a church, I don't believe that God just wants us to exist. I believe God wants us to make a difference in the world, to bring his kingdom here on earth. And I believe he has given us delegated power and authority to see his kingdom move on the earth. You know, I sense, move the PowerPoint here. I sense as Christians that we're a bit scared sometimes. Sometimes we're a bit scared to step out and actually try and advance the kingdom of God for various different reasons. Now we can think to ourselves, how can we go about healing the sick? How can we fight against evil forces? How can we share the good news of the kingdom of God? Does anyone get a bit scared sometimes? A bit fearful? How do I do it? Some of you are honest, yeah? And we have this idea here, and actually, you know, the thing we got to remember is it's not actually us doing it, but it's God working through us. Now, I like reading books by on anxiety, etc., and on our mental health. It's sort of one of the things I'm really interested in. And there's one guy called Steve Cuss, and he talks about different reasons for anxiety. And I think these are so true as Christians. These are different things that stop us moving in the power of God. The first one is this. We feel stressed and anxious when we've been given authority for something, but we haven't been given the power to go with it. No, so we've been asked to do something. We haven't been given the power and authority. I'll get the right one. Do you know what I mean by when someone asks you to do something, but they don't actually give you the power to do it? Now your boss might ask you to do something, but then they don't actually give you authority. So they might ask you to pull your work colleague to help them, but you haven't actually got the power to do anything, and you just feel helpless. Well, sometimes as Christians, I think we feel this way. We feel like we've been given the job to spread the kingdom of God, but we feel like we haven't got any power. We feel like actually we haven't been given any authority. And therefore, we make being a Christian just into being a nice person. Or we get scared about the mission that Jesus has called us to, internal doubt. Because we don't feel good enough, we think, I can't heal the sick. I can't fight evil. I can't share the good news of the kingdom. Because we just think that we're not good enough. And we have internal doubt. I'll tell you what, I'll probably put that up on my list there. And the final thing is this. Self-dependence. We think that we've got to do everything ourselves. We think that we're the one who has got to try and heal people. Have you ever tried to heal anybody? You try and heal somebody, it's impossible, isn't it? You know, sometimes people try and heal. You can't do it in your own strength. And the problem is, we become anxious because we think it all remains on us. We think it's all about us. So because we think we're not good enough, we have internal doubt, because we think we haven't got the power or responsibility, do you know what we do as Christians? We do nothing. We have what I call tame Christianity. And the reality is, as Christians, we've been called to advance the kingdom of God on earth. But not through our own power, but through God's. And as we saw this in Luke 9 earlier, and then the passage that was read there, I love this passage because it stirs me up, it challenges me. If I want to see the kingdom of God, I need to rid myself of excuses and I need to follow what Jesus wants. Shall we say that together? I need to get rid of excuses and I need to follow Jesus. Ready? I need to get rid of excuses and I need to follow Jesus. Because guys, I don't want, as a church in this nation, when we finish lockdown, hopefully next month, okay, things are going to improve. Hopefully, we don't want to go back to just stale Christianity, do we? We don't just want to go back to just sitting in church. We want to advance God's kingdom. And the only way we're going to do it is by challenging these anxieties. So the first thing we need to do is this. In this passage in Luke chapter 9, Jesus says this. Jesus gives his disciples power and authority. Jesus gives you power and authority to pray for the sick, to cast out demons, and to bring the good news. Isn't that scary? Look around a minute. Look at the guys around you, okay? If you're watching this on Zoom later, look at the people on the screen. Okay, it's scary, okay? God's equipped us. This bunch of nutters here, okay? God's equipped us, okay? He's equipped us to go out. He's given us power and authority. Jesus isn't like your boss who asks you to do something without giving you the authority and making you feel trapped. He's not like that. Jesus says, I have given you authority to pray for the sick, to cast out demons and tell everyone about the good news of the kingdom. He hasn't left it to the pastors. He hasn't left it to the holy ones. He hasn't left it to those who are good enough. He's left it to you. He's left it to you. You've got the power. I feel like walking and doing a dance. I mean, you've got the power. You know when Jim Carrey does it in the film, don't worry about it. Okay, there we go. I won't do any dancing for you. The next thing is this. Jesus calls us to go in his authority. Should we say that together? Jesus calls us to go in his power and authority. Now, Jesus sent them out, and he sent them out with power and authority to pray, deliver, and to preach. You are not good enough to do this by yourself, but you are good enough to do it with Jesus. You are good enough to do it when the Holy Spirit is working through you. You know, I don't know how you guys are, but when I've got a really hard conversation, you know those conversations that you don't want to have and you're feeling really awkward about? Do you know what I find easier to do? I find it easy to say, this person thinks that you should. Or, and I love putting it on somebody else because it makes it easier, doesn't it? Because it doesn't feel like it's you. So I might have a conversation with Steve and I say, Steve, Delia thinks this about you, rather than what I think about you, okay? Or I say, Delia thinks I should do this, or Maddie thinks I should do that, or Angel thinks I should do this. And it feels easier, doesn't it, when you put the responsibility on somebody else. And actually, as Christians, when we pray for somebody, we're doing it with Jesus' power and authority. The responsibility is not on us. The responsibility falls on God. Doesn't that feel nice? It helped me once when someone said, what if you pray and nobody's healed? I said, it's all right, isn't it? Because it's God's responsibility, not mine. So what have I got to lose? The last thing is this that Jesus calls us to in this passage. He says this, Jesus calls us to trust. Should we say that together? Jesus calls us to trust. You know, when we're scared about sharing the kingdom of God, when we're scared about ushering it in, we need to remember that Jesus says to his disciples, take nothing with you. Take nothing with you. I like to be the most organized person in the world, okay? I took Sophia to Alton Towers yesterday. It was chucking it down with rain. I took so much extra stuff just in case, okay? In case this happened, in case that happened. In case we got soaked, I had a spare pair of clothes in the car, all sorts of things. I took every precaution because I'm organized. But Jesus says here, don't trust in yourself. Just take yourself out when you share the good news. Why? Because it means you've got to rely on God. Guys, you know what? When we're called to be a kingdom advancing church, when you're called to be a Christian who makes a difference in the world, Jesus, when he says, don't take anything with you, says, don't depend on yourself. Just depend on God. That's really hard to do. That is so hard to do. I found that when I didn't have anything, depending on God was really easy. The more I've got, the harder it is to depend on God sometimes. But it's something that we need to learn. And I love how this passage in Luke finishes off. If we read Luke 9, verse 7 to 9, we see how the disciples, they went out, they started praying, they started casting out demons, they started sharing the good news, and they came back to Jesus and said, Jesus, it's working! Imagine Jesus' reaction, like, I knew it was going to work. I'm the Son of God, for goodness sake. Okay, I knew what was going to happen. They were overwhelmed by what Jesus was doing. And it wasn't just the disciples. The kings were hearing about what the disciples were doing. And the kings were really confused. They're going, what the heck is going on? Something incredible is happening. Wouldn't it be brilliant if stuff was happening in the church and everyone else started to notice it and said, what's going on? That's what we want. Guys, and I believe as a church that God wants our faith and expectancy in him to rise. I believe that God wants us to start dreaming again, to see God's kingdom come in Stoke-on-Trent, to see God's kingdom come in Staffordshire, to see God's kingdom come in Shropshire and across the whole UK, in London, or wherever else we're listening to this message from, wherever else we're placed, whenever God's placed us. It can be so easy to look at Christianity negatively and look at the church negatively. But I believe God, with a passionate heart, that God wants to stir us up to see great things happen again. You know, we live in a world where we've tried everything. We've tried new laws. We've tried medicine. We've tried to let people be whatever they want to be. All sorts of things. Some of that stuff's good, okay. But have you noticed that with everything that we've tried, our advanced cultural humanities we think we've got, that we've got just as much, if not more, loneliness, just as much despair, just as much hopelessness? And I really believe, food banks are good. I believe all sorts of things are good. I believe that helping the poor is good. I believe helping asylum seekers is good. All that stuff we want to do as a church is good. But I believe all of that doesn't matter. What will only just scratch the surface without God's kingdom coming to Stoke-on-Trent, without us making a difference on a deeper level and saying, God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, we need to be more than just nice people. We need to be more than just doing nice things. I believe we need to step into praying more, trusting God more. Let's be a brave church in advancing His kingdom. Let's get excited about the things that God wants to do. Some of you might just be sitting here going, Jim, that's all right, but I'm still scared. What do I do? You know that sort of thing? What do I do? And I've got just some tips, okay, on what I believe God wants us to do. Okay, so not even tips what God wants us to do, just tips that will help us step out in the kingdom of God. And they're just five things. If you want to know more, there's a video on the link below, okay, on Sunday Supplements, part of our website. It says five things I believe that will help us. Number one, when you start praying for people, okay, don't be creepy, okay? I've met so many creepy Christians. They almost like want to jump out of bushes, okay, and randomly attack people and pray for them. Or like they change their voice, ooh, all sorts of weird things. Don't be creepy when you're praying for someone. Just do it, okay? Use your normal voice. You don't have to start speaking in a craziness. Just be simple. Number two, be appropriate, okay? Don't touch any parts of them that you shouldn't be touching, okay? For an example, just be really sensible. Don't try and pray for someone who doesn't want to be prayed for, because Jesus says, don't. Number three, share Jesus in language that people understand. You know, sometimes when Christians talk about Christianity, okay, I haven't got a clue what they're talking about, okay? And I'm a pastor with a theology degree, okay? Sometimes Christians try and sound impressive. Just tell them, life was really hard. Jesus came in and He helped me. Use language they understand. Number four, really important, don't try an exorcism by yourself, okay? And I want to encourage people to go out and to make a difference. But you could get yourself in really big trouble, okay? In a really half situations. Talk to a pastor, okay? Talk to a wise Christian, okay? It's more on the video. The last thing is this. Remember that it's not easy. Do you know, I want to just have a story here just to come to finish. A couple of stories, and then I'm going to pray for us. First story is this. I remember when I got really excited. I read a book by, I think it was Bill Johnson, and he talked about like stepping out in the kingdom of God. And that morning I went out and my back, I seem to have a little, every so often, back problems, and my back was really hurting. And he said, we're living in the kingdom of God, in this book. And he said, so pray, whatever is in heaven, let it come on earth, and pray for your situation. So I prayed for my back. And I was like, Jesus, let your kingdom come on my back. And as I prayed it, I remember the exact location in Madeley where my back was just healed. I felt this warmth and I was like, wow. I think it was soon after that, I prayed for Sophia's hip. I shared the story many times, with clicky hips with the doctor, and I laid hands on her. I prayed for her and she was completely healed. It was like, yes. And I said, Jesus, please can you give me someone to pray for? You know when you're just like really excited? And you're like, yes, I'm on fire for Jesus. Give me someone to pray for. And I prayed this prayer and I walked out the door and the old lady across the road was walking there. And I said, how are you doing, Joan? She goes, oh, I've got this problem. And I was like, all right. And I walked off. In that moment, I knew God had said to me, pray for her. But I was too scared to pray for her. Guys, you know the thing I've learned? I've had people who come in church who God has healed and are given a word of knowledge out in church. And a few people more than one or two, which is quite nice. But the thing I've worked out is I got to the stage of where I kept saying to God, God, I know, look, I don't care if I look stupid. As long as I'm trying to do what you want me to do. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's tough. But I've coming to the conclusion it's better for me to look like an idiot than it is for me to miss the opportunity to show someone the love of God and the kingdom of God in more than a superficial way. You know, Jesus is sending you out to pray. Pray for healing and to bring the kingdom of God here in your area, down your street. The question is this, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready to put aside your anxiety and say, Jesus, I'm going for it?